Blog Talk Radio.
So many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost instead because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, 'cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord. I feel free. Oh yeah. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit, and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back. Bowing down on my knees, begging you to help me.
Dalton, want a slow one.
You know all things, so why abide under your wing? Jesus, Jesus, you're my fountain where my life and thanks begin. Fullness of joy I'm trying to find, that secret place where I can hide. No sinful thoughts plaguing my mind, just you and I getting lost in time.
Yes, sir.
Dalton's ready.
All right. All right, folks. Well, good evening and praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're coming with a... We're going to go ahead and take a different route tonight. We're not going to do another part of our deliverance seminar, but we got a very powerful teaching, a very powerful message that needs to go forth tonight. We would like to thank the sponsors for this teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Brenton, Reverend Williamson, Reverend Collins, Reverend McIntosh, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Roberts, Reverend Loveless, Reverend McCormick, Reverend A.D. Dixon, and Reverend Kennedy. I'd like to say, take the time to say that those of you out there listening, thank you for tuning in. We also have 14 churches that are also sponsoring tonight's teaching as well. Now, this teaching is going to be something that is very important that we all need to hear. I cannot stress to you anymore how important it is that you all pay attention and listen to what is being said and taught tonight. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and give space and time for Brother John. He's going to do his shout-outs to a couple of his pastoral friends. Then after that, we're going to go ahead and get started with Brother Emmett and the teaching for tonight. Brother John, you have the mic.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. I want to give a special shout-out to a couple of brothers of mine in the Lord. That is Pastor Proudton, Pastor McDonald, Pastor Williams, Pastor Montgomery, Pastor Hightower, and Pastor Dixon. God bless you. And look forward to hearing from you and to get to meet you personally someday. God bless you. Enjoy the session tonight. Over and out.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get a quick mic check from Brother Emmett. Brother Emmett, can you hear me?
Yeah, sound check. Mic check. Mic check. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, sir. We got you loud and clear.
Okay, Big Mike, go ahead on and get in there. Tell everybody about our text chat room live. I don't think a lot of people know it because we got a lot of viewers, and all 263 subscribers. You can go to livedeliverance.com and go to a text inside it, and Brother Mike's going to explain that where you can communicate to him. Share with us what you have learned from the sermon, or any questions or answers, or if you'd like to communicate to something to him, assistant pastor will get back with me. And I go through him now. Because of my schedule, I was able to hands-on. I just can't pick up the phone and say live deliverance anymore. It's just too many phone calls. But when I do get the time, I will contact you. Brother Mike, tell them how that works.
Amen. For those of you who are actually watching and tuning in and listening to us live on YouTube, you can find us at www.livedeliverance.com and click on the YouTube link. There you will be able to actually chat with us. We have the option to chat while the teaching is going on. So if you have any questions, any comments or commentary, or if you would just like to say hello, you can do that. I'll be in the room. I'm here every night in the room, as well as listening in Blog Talk. So if you have anything that you would like to say, just feel free to join us there. And if not, please join us in the Blog Talk room at area code 646-378-1857.
I'm not able to be in the chat room because I'm teaching. You ready, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Father, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus. I just ask that the hearers will receive your word and instructions. I take authority over Satan. I bind him in the name of Jesus. Your word said, whatsoever you should bind on earth should be bound in heaven. I bind all satanic forces around Live Deliverance Internet Radio or those who are hearing the word of God. I come up against the deaf, dumb spirit. I come up against the spirit, the familiar spirit, the spirit of hate. I come up against the spirit of confusion. And we ask that the power of God be released for the hearer to be blessed with this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go and vote. You have an opportunity to vote. Now, I'm not into politics. And I ask God, how can I do this and stay in the perimeter of a minister? And I looked at Martin Luther King, which I can never fill his shoes. But he was a minister. And I have to take this platform to make some changes. And this is the only avenue that I have where I can reach. I know I can reach 280 subscribers. But I know we're getting thousands of people to listen to us every day on the internet radio. And we know that. And we want you to continue to listen to us at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. But today is not about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're going to first of all take some time and some quiet time for those Jewish people, the Jewish people in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the African-American man and woman who got gunned down over the spirit of hate and racism. Let's take this opportunity for some time of mourning and condolence. Amen. You see, we got a lot of confusion going on. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. You see, we are in a battle between spiritual forces, but we still have to vote. In 1965, especially you black people, whether you saved or unsaved, we didn't get the right to vote until 65. And white women couldn't get into, 1917. So they weren't that far off, a little long distance. But this is the opportunity for you to make a change. And I've been dealing with this. And for any Christian broadcast, deliverance ministry who call themselves in the ministry, constantly engaging in politics, talking about a policy every day on a radio station, that ain't no way that that's ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because people changes power in this nation every 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, the balance of power changes. And that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, but as a civil duty, we have a civil duty to go and vote. We can change the situation that we're in. And, you know, and I get tired of getting on the TV seeing everybody say, well, he need to do this. He need vote him out. That's all you got to do. Go and vote. The spirit of fear that he's trying to raise and make people look at the border and see what's going on. He wants to get you on that and put that fear trip on you and have white people who in suburban areas are thinking that these little gorillas are coming over here to have our daughters. But that's not the case. This is a fear spirit in this president. This is the most divided president in U.S. history. we have an opportunity to go and tell somebody about registering to vote and get to the boot and do what you have to do. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. See, this is ordained of God. God has a reason of what he's doing. And it's our job to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through our son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and ask him, Lord, who do I need to pray for? Don't let the TV ads tell you who to pray for, because if you listen to the garbage on the TV ad, they got Trace Aven sounding like she's a thug. And this Brian, whoever he is, get pointing guns at the child. This is crazy. And see, you getting caught up in all that, you can't pray. You need to ask the Lord who you need to pray for, because these so-called white evangelical Christians, I don't consider them a Christian anymore. They ain't nothing but heretics. Because if they are a Christian, they will at least write a letter with all the money that the Southern Baptist Church send to Donald Trump and all these big Baptist organizations and Methodist bunch of mess with no Holy Ghost is what it is, old dead dry bone church running around trying to represent Christianity, telling people that this man is a Christian. This man is not a Christian. So you had an opportunity. The church ain't going to do it, so you can do it by getting to the polls and get this man out of office. And if the Democrats can get the Congress, it's on, and they will get the Congress. And then they can start examining his money. See, they can start probing stuff, and they can start opening some worms, and then we're going to see that the tide will change after November 6th. We must get out and pray against this nation. This is some crazy stuff going on. Don't get caught up in it. Intercede, pray, and go vote. Brother Mike, any comments?
We need to go ahead. Like I said, this is a serious time in our country. And we should all take that opportunity that we have and make use of it. You know, we like you said, we weren't given the opportunity years ago. Now that we have the opportunity, let's make every vote count, make our voices be heard.
I had a white brother-in-law, Brother James Jones. Brother-in-law, I don't want to talk about politics, brother. I said, I'm your brother, and you don't want to talk about what this president that you voted for and me and you both believe in Jesus? What is wrong with you? Can't you tell that something's wrong? And I gave him a scripture. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10 through 3, be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So this man ain't doing this. This man is saying he's a nationalist. So these are white Christians in the suburban area that they're trying to put fear on. And he's running on a racist ticket. He's trying to get all the white people in the suburban areas and in Midwest, and hope that a whole lot of them can come outnumber both black, white, Hispanic, and whatsoever with the Democratic Party. And this is a fear tactic. And so we can't let one man run everything. And it's up to you, the individual American who has a registered voter, to go and change that, and get that change. I've never in my life spoke on nothing like this before. I never had to. But as an American citizen, it's my obligation to tell somebody, hey, look, go and vote. Don't call me, ask me who to vote for. I just go and pray and vote. Be kind and affectionate one to another, and brother in love and honor, perfecting one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continue instant in prayer, provide things honest in the sight of all men. This man doesn't know how to do that. And so you evangelical Christians, you see that, y'all don't say nothing to him, y'all don't write him a letter, nothing, just go on with the policy, and he can cuss folks out and call folks niggas and swaps and tell folks they illiterate, it's okay. We can't get that low. We cannot step that low as human beings on this earth. Now, I'm very militant. So I'm let all of you know, I am very militant. I don't believe in we shall overcome. That doesn't work. Black folks, y'all been talking about you shall overcome, and you ain't overcame nothing. But you can overcome things in Christ Jesus. The political thing is just for you to go vote as a servant, as a servant, civil servant duty, as an American citizen. It ain't got nothing to do with your life in Christ. I don't can't no party do what Jesus can do, because we have a lot of benefits in Christ. Our benefits in Christ is not of the world. We are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. We are children of God, John 1:22. God dwells in me, and I will be in him. He does not leave me as an orphan, but comes to me. John 14:17-18, I am the bread and the true vine. We got that through Christ. John 15:1-5, God's word abide in me. I am his disciples, and I bear much fruit. John 15:7-8, I am Christ's friend. John 15:15, see, the world is not Christ's friend. This is why you have a civil duty just to vote, because remember, the purpose that you're voting in, that you need to ask the Lord who to vote for so that this scripture can be fulfilled. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist it shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So when we go and pray and ask God, Lord, you lead me who to pray for, who to vote for. Wouldn't it be better instead of you picking on what you're hearing and what you're seeing on TV? See, we're not of the world. We know that Satan is the god of this world. Again, this is a civil right. You have a humanitarian right as an American citizen. This is a civil duty that you have to do. And if you've never done it before, please go out and do it, because this stuff got to stop. Outright racism in the White House. And say, I don't like racism. I don't like it. I've been fighting it all my life, and I'm going to continue to fight it. This is the most wickedest spirit I've seen since I was a child from Mobile, Alabama. I've seen some stuff. This is the worst I have ever seen in the political environment in this country since I've been here. But remember, we are not of the world. We abide in Christ. Go vote, because it's a silver duty. We are chosen and appointed by Christ to be here and to bear his fruit, John 15:16. We have received power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, Acts 1:8. We've been justified, completely forgiven, and made righteous, Romans 5:1. I am loved by God because Christ died for me. I was still a sinner, and yet he loved me, Romans 5:8. I've been justified and saved by Christ, Romans 5:9. I receive abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness. The world can't give that to you. Romans 5:17. I died with Christ and died to the power of sin and rule over my life by faith, Romans 6:1-6. I am a slave to righteousness, Romans 6:18. I am free forever from condemnation, Romans 8:1. It is a silver duty to go vote. These are benefits that we get in Christ. The world don't get these benefits. So we are in Christ. We are not of the world. Jesus said, be in the world, but don't be of the world. But we have a silver duty to go and vote. God is spiritual, my Father. Romans 8:15, I'm a child of God. Romans 8:16, I'm a joint heir with Christ with this inheritance. Romans 8:27, I'm assurance that all things work together for good of me. Romans 8:28, I am persuaded, I'm called, I'm justified and glorified by Christ. Romans 8:30. I have been given the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. I am God's co-worker, 1 Corinthians 3:9. I am washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6:11. We have these benefits by Christ Jesus, but we still have an obligation to go and vote. This is nothing but white nationalism in the White House, and white nationalism means total separation. All it is a cover for South African ideology. Rhodesia, that's how he thinks. We as a people have to pray for this nation. Bind these spirits in your area. Take authority over the problems that you have in your community. Grip the devil with the word of God and speak God's word boldly in faith, and still go vote. You have a silver duty to do that. Let me open up the lines. So Pastor Durden, can we get Brother John in here?
I'm here.
Pastor Durden, you're the elder here, and you've been here on this earth a little bit longer than us, and I'm quite sure you've had a lot of experience. Can I get your, Rem Dixon says, we'd like to get your output on this sermon or this awakening call to get people to vote. Please, you have the mic for comeback, please.
Well, what's been said so far is right on the money, because we have a leader who's is not concerned about other races but his own, and the slogan "Let's make make America great" is it's a secret code for saying, let's make it white again and put the blacks, put the Hispanics and the Asians and the Muslim all back in their places, and let's run this place like it used to be. But like you said, we need to get out and vote. We need to, because I can remember the days when I was a teenager and going across the street, going to school, and this little white lady was decrepit, and she was going, she fell down, and I helped her up. They help across the street, and do you know three white men? They look like they're weighing about 300, 400 pounds. Confronted me and say, "Hey, boy, what you doing touching that white woman?" And I said, "Can't you see the woman's elderly, sirs? I'm just helping the lady across here. Just feel sorry for. Since when a nigga feels sorry for a white woman?" I look at him. I say, "Okay, the age with y'all, you know." And I can remember one other time when I'm going to school when I was, I guess, 7th, 8th grade, walking through the white neighborhood. And some little kids like 4 and 5 years old playing in the front yard. And they saw me walking down the sidewalk, and I was going to school. And a little girl who was about like 4 years old said, "Your brother looked to be about 6 years old. Look at that, but there's a real nigga. See, look, there's a real nigga. Ooh." And the mother heard and said, "Yo, come on in here," because I guess she thought of him, come over there and kill a little kid, you know, kind of thing. But it was a lot of bad experience. And then one last one, when I went in the military to fight for this country. And I was in California, of all places you think it'd be A-okay. And what I'm doing, me and the soldier guys, after we was off that evening around about 5 o'clock, we changed. We kept our uniforms on, and we went into town, and we had this nice big restaurant. And it was me and three other guys, because it was 4 of us together, because we traveled in the car, 2 in the front, 2 in the back. And so we got up to the counter, and they said, "Can I help you?" "Yeah, I want this, I want that. No, I want this, I want that." Got to me. I said, "Ma'am, you just passed me." She looked at me like I'm crazy, you know. Would I say anything? I said, "I would like a hamburger and some fries and so on. She didn't look at me and stare at me like I was crazy, but I didn't pick up the hint, you know. And then about 20 minutes later, she came with the tray with everybody's food but mine. I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, where's mine? We don't serve y'all kind here." Now, this is up in California, and I've got on a military uniform. Do you know I was about to go to Vietnam where all my buddies were killed because I was a medic in the military? And what happened? When you're a medic, when your fellow soldiers get shot in the leg or get an arm blown off or foot blown off, I have to go out in the opening from undercover to rescue that military soldier, bring him back to where he can be safely treated, and then we transport him to the hospital so he could the makeshift hospital that we devised. That was my job, to go and as a medic to go out in the opening. Drag one of the brothers who got killed, white and black, and drag them back to see if they put a needle in them so they wouldn't feel the pain when that leg got shot off when they got bullets in them. And then this lady tell me, talking about, "We don't serve your kind." Man, I could have turned that place inside out. I said, "I don't believe this. Here I got my uniform on, and she treat me like a nigga, you know." And then
what year was that, Brother John? What year was that?
That was in the 60s. Oh, yeah, 64.
Okay.
64, 65, and 66. That's the Vietnam era. 64, 65, 66. That was in my 20s.
Wow.
And then to make a long story short, I thought the white brothers, because I was the only African-American, the other three white dudes, they kept right on eating. I look at them and say, "We don't serve your kind." I thought, sure, those brothers would get a white brother, get up, and say, "The hell with y'all," you know, and throw the plate all on the floor and walk out of the plate. They sat there and ate things, and I said, "I'm going outside for some fresh air, okay, guys?" Because I can see they were sympathizing with me. I walk outside. Did you know I walked 5 miles back to the base all by myself? I refused to ride with them. They sat there and ate the food. Now, we're supposed to be military guys fighting together. And they said, ready to go, hell with him. And they sat there and eat. So, yeah, we need to get out and vote. We messed up when Obama was doing the second thing and nobody voted. We got all those politicians in. We got all those Republicans in. And what happened? He became a null and void his last 4 years because they took over. And now
anytime.
They got all... So it's a shame. It's a shame. I hope we are learning from that when they didn't get out of vote. You don't just vote for the president. You vote for those people who go in Congress and senators as well, because they almost tell the president what to do and what not to do. So it's very important we go and vote.
When there is a low African-American turnout, Republicans get in office. Anytime that there is a low minority turnout, they get in office. So please, with 260 subscribers and those worldwide hearing me, go and vote. Get out and tell someone about voting. We have come a long ways and look like time has been peeled back. And we can't do that as people of the United States. And I'm not going to sit back and do that. I'm not doing it. I'm not about to sing Kumbaya and we shall overcome someday. No, we need to go vote. We need to pray. We need to ask the power of God to move on this nation. We need to come up against these demonic spirits that's in this president. This is the craziest president I've ever encountered in my life. This is a crazy fool. And your vote can get this clown out of office. Let's open up the lines of 845. 845. 845. 845, please.
Yes, sir. God bless you, brothers.
845, what's up? Vote, vote, vote. 845, vote, vote, vote. What you got to say?
Brother, me personally, I've never voted in my life. Maybe I'll vote one day. I don't know. I just haven't felt the pull to vote. I don't know. I mean.
Well, I hope you go register before Tuesday because we need every vote we can get, brother. I understand. I don't get in politics, but this is the only thing we can do is prayer. If you can pray,
amen,
bind
brother.
Demons in your areas, man. Bind them demons because they're demons. Demons, but the silver duty for Americans to do is to vote. There's nothing wrong with that because in the days of Christ, they voted and they gave Caesar his, and Jesus said, give us Caesar's and God's God.
Yeah.
But if you can't vote, pray and give us your out. So let us get where you're in the New York area. Get us an understanding of what you feel about Donald Trump.
Why Donald Trump? I mean, to me, the whole this whole thing is just a little bit out of hand. I mean, everything is
out of hand. You're out of control.
Yeah,
it's people dying right now because of words.
Yes, but I mean, there's been such a pull with the race card, and then when it comes to like Donald Trump, I mean, I just feel like spiritually it was, you know, I mean, God, Jesus knows what's going on. I mean, but I couldn't say that, you know, that Donald Trump was like this God-given gift to the USA, and I don't really feel personally, even myself, that America could really be great again, because I don't really know when America was ever really great.
It never was great. That's the biggest lie I've been to tell. Wait a minute now. America has never been great. Wait. How are you going to form something? Wait. Let me get going and preach this. How are you going to form something and you take it from a people that was here and you do horrific damage to the race? You wipe them out and you kill them and then you terrorizing with alcohol.
Yep.
Now, you got Indians today that can't even vote because they got a P.O. box office number on reservations.
Yeah. Yep.
And you talking about make America great. What about that? What about the people in San Juan, Puerto Rico, who are black people who cannot vote because it's a territory? They got all the benefits, but they can't vote.
Yep.
What about the islands of St. Thomas, which is U.S. Virgin Islands, those are black people. They territory, U.S. territory, but they can't vote. Where is justice at with that? Wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up. Louisiana Purchase was stolen. They broke every treaty there was. Now here are these people coming from England to get themselves, call themselves coming for religious freedoms, and yet put other people in bondage with their freedom. Now, God had something to do with it. God had a lot to do with it, because all of this is folding out for the second coming of Christ. But I will say this here. America has never been no great nation. America only has had grace by God because she protects and support Israel. That's the only thing that's holding us up with this nation. So let's not be talking about America is great, because America is a nightmare to certain people. America is a hellhole to certain people, and America is a blessing to certain people. They say you work hard here, they will kill you in America to make money. You got to kill yourself here. Work long hours. Oh, you got to work two jobs, three jobs. If you want to go see Beyonce, that's going to take a month of your check. And y'all call this freedom. And then you go in these grocery stores in the United States, and they got all these chemicals packed in the food, and you call that, man, they're killing you every day, and you don't even know it. No, America ain't never been great, man. We couldn't get a right to vote to 1965. 65. Mm-hmm. And this thing was established in 1776.
It's wicked, brother.
What they leaving exile for? And then now we got another lie coming up, Thanksgiving coming. They finna eat with the Indians. That's a damn lie. They killed all of them, and Pocahontas stayed alive. And they scavenged and killed everybody while we was on the Mayflower. Let's don't start no. Let's do this right now. Because I'm talking true history. Because I study. Not only do I study the Bible, I study other books so I can be able to speak like this and be backed up by God. God does not like you to oppress another race of people. And this ain't nothing but fear, and I blame these white, evangelical, white, Baptist, no tongue talking, Dr. Charles Stanley, Dr. whoever, the Children's Hour with Shalak Kluhu on some AM radio station, Rush Limbaugh. I blame all them racist white people just doing this. He did not get the majority of the vote. He had 3 million. Hillary Clinton had 3 million more. And I'm not neither Democrat nor Republican, but we got to do something about this. As Christians, unsaved Christians, whoever you are, go and get yourself out and vote. Because that's the only thing we got. Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
Any comments about what's going on?
I think y'all brothers done covered it, man. Y'all done hit it right on the head. Even in the commentary in the chat room, they're saying that y'all pretty much y'all spot on. Y'all getting it. Y'all speaking the truth.
Amen. How many we got in that chat room?
We got 4 watching and 2 commentary.
Okay. Ask them if they want to have me any questions while I'm live. I'll wait.
Okay. Hold on.
Those who are listening to me in the chat room, if you got any questions and answers. You see, we have been believing a lie. All our lies. This land is your land. This land is mine. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you ain't got no money in America, they don't care nothing about you. Nothing. You got to have money. And when you have a lot of money and no God, you're an idolatry. So let's get this straight about the history. The history of teaching is all wrong. It ain't even true. You know, we don't want to go there, but this country really needs to repent. At once, this country pushed out the gospel, yet oppressed people. Why I did it? This country has a double tongue, had 2 standards. Any questions in the chat room?
None at the moment.
Okay, now I want to show you something, because I want to get on these so-called African American Christians. Now I'm African American, so I can get on them. And I don't have to worry about no flyback. But we do have a right to vote. We should vote, but we shouldn't trust in the system. I know that sounds kind of awkward. The Bible says we as Christians are just passing through. But while we're here, we have a civil duty and a civil obligation to go and vote. Now, I want you to hear somebody. I'm trying to put it on the download on my internet. I'm trying to pull it up. I want you to hear someone 25 years ago. And I'll tell you who this person is after you hear it, because when we pray and ask the Lord, Lord, who to vote for? That's it. It ain't on. We ain't got to do nothing else but serve God and stay out the world. Be up on things. Don't be ignorant. Know what's surrounding. Know what you're going through. But the Bible says that things repeat itself. There's nothing new under the sun. The same conditions that America in was in the same condition 25 years ago. Let's listen to this. This is why we got to go vote and not put our trust in any of the party systems.
Why is America, why does this loom to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't find them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustrations. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat. Nor an American, and got sense enough to know. I'm one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it. And I'm not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. As long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. Twenty-two million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close, they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who will go to the White House and who will stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and got it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you back controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you because you're a chump.
And they cannot keep our promise today, and we know that. See, there's nothing new under the sun, nothing. Now, there is a question that someone wants to ask in the chat room. Why do the Christian leaders look over Trump's sins? Every time information comes out about him, they call it fake news because they don't want to deal with reality. They're numb. They are rejecting the truth and trying to make evil good and good evil. Does that answer your question? Brother Mike, text him and ask him, does that answer his question? And text me back. We have a capability to communicate with people outside now, out of the chat room here. If you want to call in, please do so. 646-378-1857. Or you can go to livedeliverance.com and tell our live stream and chat and go and chat with us and communicate. Are there any more questions in the chat room, Brother Mike?
No, sir.
Ask him, did that answer his question, his or her answer? Did that answer the question?
I'm waiting for a reply.
Okay. So we've seen this president call people son of a bitches. Christians don't even say nothing. Ignorant. Mess with deformed people. I can go on and on and on. Paying people, lying to folks, committing adultery. And the Christians, the white evangelical Christians, they don't say nothing because they're nothing but some damn hypocrites. And they ain't no Christians. They heathens confessing themselves they're Christians. They're just like their ancestors was when they slaving niggas and called themselves Ku Klux Klan running the church. You ain't no damn Christian acting like that. These ain't no Christians. These are some evil folks confessing that they're Jesus, that they got Jesus in their heart and full of hate and want their own agenda more than the word of God. This is what people are in denial with that. They're in denial. And God's going to stop this, but it's happening for a reason. So before I close, I want you to go and vote. I want you to pray and ask the Lord who to vote for. You can get your country back by prayer, by fasting, by tearing down these strongholds in your area. In Daniel chapter 10, there was a demonic battle for 21 days. Don't let that be in your area. You have the authority to pull down and cast down the imaginations. You have the authority to pull down principalities in your area. All I do is pray in tongues all day. So I done made some wrong decisions in my life. I done been through a lot. But guess what? I have found one thing throughout all my era. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. And when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you yield yourself to him in everything, in every decision you make, you will have success. God bless you. I hope that you have been blessed by this. I don't like to talk to get into politics, but we got no choice but to go vote, and then we got to pray. Pray, constantly pray. Prayer is more powerful than voting. Hang on, wait a minute, another request. Why do they request prayer for Trump every day, but I don't remember them asking for prayer for President Obama? Because they damn heathen. They ain't number some damn hypocrites, that's why. They didn't even call him President Obama because they racist white people, brother. So that's all what it is. And no deliverance ministry or no deliverance radio station should be supporting a political leader. You have never saw me put Obama on no wall. You ain't never saw me say anything about him through his administration, through my teaching. That's the word. And these so-called radio stations, deliverance radio stations, putting pictures with presidents on is ridiculous. Any other questions, Brother Mike, before we call, answer a question? That was a good question. Why do they request prayer for Trump every day? But I don't remember them asking for prayers. They didn't ask for prayers, pray for Obama about a damn thing. They didn't care. They called him Barack Obama. See, that's racism. Did I like Obama's policies? No. Did I like him as a human being, as the first black president? I'm over that, because we got to stop having first black and first this and first that and get some righteousness in America. That's what we need. I don't support homosexuality. Obama did. I was against that. I was opposed to that. I did not support that. But politicians are politicians. You can't put your trust in them. You have to put your trust in the Lord. Brother Mike, did that answer any questions?
No other questions at the moment.
Okay. We need to stop this racism. And the way you can stop it is through prayer, intercession, binding and loosing, and going to get out and vote. God bless you. We're going to see if it's the will of the Lord. Wednesday, Tuesday, I'm off. I'm watching the elections. I'm going to be off. I'll be back on air Wednesday with Deliverance Seminar Part 5. Get out and go vote. Change this scenario through your prayers, through your fasting, and through your intercession. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I'm militant. I'll be real with you. I'm not liberal or conservative. I'm militant. I'm straight up raw. I don't like no mess. I don't believe in being walked over, disrespected. Use the devil don't even use me, and I don't like what's going on in my nation, and we can take it back. Yeah, I'm an American. I don't like what's going on here, and as an American citizen, I have the right and the First Amendment right to exercise these rights on this internet radio station, and I pray to God that I've done it through the best ability not to offend people. But people are getting tired. Black folks been going through this for 400-500 years. See, we used to it, but we can't keep going through this. Since this man been in office, we've had people been killed. We had a guy take a car in Virginia and run over this woman, and he said nothing. See, he's fueling this. Get out and stop this foolishness and go vote. Don't forget to support us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We have a secure PayPal site. We will need your offerings. It'll be a blessing to us. We are in need of finances, and all my cyber members, y'all have to tithe. Now, the cyber members, they're church members. I require that they tithe because we sit and we labor with them, and we bless them, and we send information to them, and we do spend a lot of time. We're a church. You have to tithe, cyber members. Please don't forget that. God bless you. Those who are not cyber members, you can email me at overtonavy1@gmail.com to become one. Call me at Erico 444-619-522. Advocate Pittsburgh Steelers fan, go Steelers, black and gold, all day black and gold. God bless. Don't forget to get out and vote. Okay, wait a minute. Someone else has something to say. It just saddens me that they say they are Christians. I don't like abortion, but I don't like cop killing black folks. White Christians said nothing about black death. Just saddens me that they say that they are Christians. I don't like abortion, but I don't like cop killing black folks. White Christians say nothing about black deaths because they don't care. They not black, and they ain't never been African-American in their life. They don't have a feeling with you. They numb. You know, we're in two different worlds, baby. We're in two different worlds. I see it as a nightmare. They see it as a blessing. That's why a sister, a brother, Brother Mike, can you text them back and ask them if they're female or male so I can say sir or ma'am if you don't mind? They don't care because they're not black. You see, and there's a fear going on with some of these white people. And I hate to talk like this, but you got some good white people worldwide in America, white here. I ain't saying all white people are bad, but what we got is the majority of white Christians operating this sense of urgency and fear and moving that's totally against scripture toward a president who's not saved. And that's the problem I got with these so-called white evangelical Christians. Was it a male or female, brother?
They haven't replied back yet.
Okay. Any other questions before we go, Brother Mike?
No, sir.
Ask them in the chat room that I answer all their questions. That was some very interesting questions and answers. Male or female? All right, brother. God bless, man. That's, you're right. Stay strong. Go vote. Make sure you go vote. Make sure you go vote. Pray for this nation. We have a separate division of people. You know, I had a white brother in the Lord. He called me. He said he didn't want to talk about certain things. I said, hey, what are we going to talk about? You're in a different world than I'm in. Only thing got us connected is you believe in speaking tongues. I speak in tongues and cast out demons. Other than that, we ain't got nothing in common, because he was deaf to the problems that we face in the African-American community. In the African-American community, there are many problems, especially born out of wedlock. These men not being men, popping babies out. Y'all need to stop that, plugging up women, going to the next woman, jumping and popping seeds in people. That's pitiful. You're bringing bastards in this world. We need to stop that. We got to stop this one-on-one. That's called guerrilla warfare demons with black folks killing black folks. Y'all need to stop that. And I'm going to get on you, black people. I'm black myself. Y'all got to stop all this, this old religious mess and jumping in prosperity, trying to get God to send you a Mercedes out of heaven in a box. You got to come to reality. That's not Christianity. Get out of this humanism. Get out of this serving God in the flesh, and really get into the apostolic word of God. Not all black people are like that. I'm just here talking about the ones that's religious, the ones that want to get into being prosperous and not knowing nothing about demons. Y'all better start learning something about demons. They're real. They're in you. They're around your family. They're in the president. They're in Congress. They're everywhere. Spirit of lust is very perverted here in the United States. Everything's lost, 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 lost. Everything. All right, we got one more person here saying, thank you for telling the truth. We need the truth to be spoken on live radio. Amen. God bless you. Brother Mike, find out that a female or male. That's exciting. I like hearing that. We're getting good responses. We got people to support us. And I thank God for that. God bless you, brother. Stay strong. I'm going to continue to speak the truth. I'm not no house nigga. I ain't nobody's house nigga at all. I am not a house nigga. I ain't with that program. I love being an African-American Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he definitely ain't white, because Revelation 2:18 says his eyes outside the sun, his feet was like that of brass. There's going to be a lot of white folks going to be very shocked to see a nigga sitting on the right hand of God. Shalom to you, and God bless you. All right, we brought the militancy to you. Before we close, we're off at Big Mike. Reverend Stoopman said, what kind of preacher is this man here? Brother Johnny says, give me the mic. What kind of person is this man just got through teaching? Big Brother Johnny, Reverend Dalton said, what's going on here?
He's just an African-American man who is speaking the truth.
Well, why you got to teach him? You taught him. You teaching him, say he ain't no house nigga. See, I know you teaching him, Derek. You wrote that damn thing out, nigga. Oh.
Now, what kind of minister you are? You don't even know me.
What
you
kind
can
of
call
minister
me a nigga. And that's pitiful. And you're supposed
that's
to be a minister.
Pitiful.
Man, I don't respond to nothing like that. He can go fly a kite. I don't respond to people who talk to another African brother. And like them white folks, the white folks saw that.
Oh, no,
here we got a black minister.
He's not. He's not black, but he's a white guy. Sorry.
Oh, he's a white guy.
Yeah, well,
I tell you what, you just go to the Lord and talk to the Lord. Don't talk to me. Bye.
Okay, Brother John, we got one from Reverend Jackson. Brother John?
I'm listening.
Reverend Jackson said, why Brother Emmy got to say he ain't no house nigga? Why you got to be so blunt like that? Y'all scan me.
No, that's his personality, you know. He was always like that. You got to remember, he was a Navy SEAL once upon a time. He was in a gang for 7 years, and that's why God picked him up, because he don't fear nothing. He would speak his heart, and he don't take no crap off nobody. And believe you me, the only person he fear is the Lord. Anybody else will get a butt with him. Okay? He don't fear nobody but the Lord. So he speaks his heart. That's why he's the deliverance minister. That's the kind of men, saints God want to use to fight these demons, man. These demons are something else. And you don't need no help.
Good morning.
I ain't going to say that because they get mad at me. God got him in there because he's an ex-Navy SEAL and an ex-gangster. and he came from a military family, okay? That's why he's in deliverance ministry, because God don't need anybody in deliverance ministry half-stepping on, well, I can say something to him, but I ain't going to say, no, they going to hate me. You don't need those kind of apostles or ministers in deliverance ministry, buddy. God bless you.
Okay, Reverend Deuson says, Brother Mike, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, I got you.
Reverend Deuson says he's burning you out tonight, and Brother John. Also, he's burning 845 out. He said he's going to burn him out. Talk. 845.
Yes, sir, bro. Yeah, I heard.
He's going to burn you out. He said he's going to burn the candles, burn you out, because you're hanging with us. He's burning you out in, Brother John. Going to burn you out.
Come on, join the party.
That's all right, man. I got nothing but love inside of me.
What do you think about the sermon, 845?
Brother, it's a blessing, brother. I mean, it's something that we all have to, you know, come to terms with and deal with. And like you were saying earlier, we have to pray and we have to fast. And we have to seek God with, you know, with everything that we have that's in us, because it's a spiritual battle out there, brother. I mean, the spiritual war is real. Satan don't care who you are.
Devil don't care
nothing
about you.
He's trying to wipe
everybody
out.
Everybody. And rebellion is so heavy nowadays. And these damn teenagers are lost. They are goddamn gone.
My brother, I know. Yeah, it's a little bit scary out there with the youth.
They gone. The youth, boy. Ain't no hope. They're too much technical. They into technical stuff too much. The devil's going to use that to throw people from Reverend Galtman. 845 Reverend Galtman says, why do you listen to this radio station?
This is... This is my church. This is my family, and I love you guys, man. This is how things should be. You know, it should be going back to the church of Acts, brother. I mean, this is what Christians should be doing. You know, fellowshipping, being one. You know, and really coming against all this wickedness out there, man. Because it's really. It's just too much, and I can feel the spiritual pressure. I mean, it's really just coming
this
to a time
there,
where
man.
Jesus
about to
is separating, you know?
Lord,
it really
separating,
is.
Man. Yeah.
You know?
Big Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have it? You look like we had a black audience tonight, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We have a black
yes,
audience. Our audience are predominantly black, which I like. I'm black. I don't mind white people coming on. I love all of them. But it looks good to see my people come in and support me.
Yes, sir.
Reverend Stinson to Brother John Durden. Reverend Stinson says, what kind of new thing is this? Is this a new fade or what's going on here? T.C. Stinson, Durden.
New fade? No, it's just that African Americans are nowadays are different from the African American in the early days. You see, before they couldn't speak like that or express their opinions or express their heart because what? They'll lynch your butt right there in City Hall, you know? You can see nothing even if you look at somebody wrong. And those white folks get attended, and they see you looking at a white woman. You said something, or you back, you supposed to call them, yes, sir, why they call you boy? And they had the right to doggone hang you if they wanted to.
People forgot that.
Yeah, one other thing is the black, good-looking girl walking down the street by herself coming from school, and the police officer pull over and say, get in the car, nigga. And the young girl, attractive, about 15, 16, no, sir, I'm going home. Get in the car, nigga. And when she get in the car, they take out there in the woods, and they run a train on her, like, all both of them screwed girl, and then leave out there in the woods by herself. She come home crying with her panties and dress all torn, and when she tell her dad, he runs to the police office, and then what the police say, man, get your butt out of here, nigga. You lucky we didn't kill the helper. Now, that's what the police said. He's going to say, my daughter raped. And he said, go to hell. I experienced that when I was a teenager, okay? But now, blacks don't take that crap now. Come high water. They don't give a flip now. They don't take no crap like that anymore. You know, I'm going to be quiet. They may hang me. Ain't none of that stuff no more. Mm-mm. Not at all.
Well, I tell you, it seems like that's what they're trying to go back to. And I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. And if we don't watch ourselves, cover ourselves, and pray, we got to do a lot of praying. Reverend Dr. Dixon to Brother John Durden. Can you hear me, Brother John?
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks.
He said, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
He said, can you come to the phone? We can't hear you that well.
Okay. Okay. I'm back to the phone. I was across the room.
I've been trying to get on this thing about a year. It's hard to get in here with you guys. I finally got you. I'm a Baptist,
okay.
And I'm gonna have to talk to you about some things here. I heard about Pelt. I was listening to it. I've heard the testimonies. Matter of fact, I was in the other night when you voted him and you broke your tie 50-50. I ain't got nothing against that. But you shouldn't have exposed the pillar to ordinary unpillars. Comment, please.
Well, some of the ordinary unpillars are the people who vote on who will be their next pastor, sir. And we got tricked when we thought because he can speak well and can hoop good. We got something here. Come to find out, the first person he tried to screw when he got in there and tried to screw one of the deacon's wives. And the wife said, the husband said, I don't believe this. We just brought this man here 2 weeks ago. He hitting on you, honey? Yeah, she said, I don't believe it. So she had a little tape recorder. And, you know, she was his church secretary. Hey, baby, how you doing? You know, you can come in this office. We can get together, you know, this kind of a thing. And had it recorded. So we about to fire this joker. He sent out resumes everywhere. And so we didn't want him to get, nobody else to get caught in that trip. So we just said on the radio, say, hey, if you want a homemonger, he's the one. You know, and we had the proof in the put because he couldn't sue us because we had him on tape. You know, we're not stupid. And I don't want anybody else to fall for that crap. You mean to tell me if you know somebody was a homemonger and they call you from another church, say, what do you think about Reverend so-and-so? Should we select him? Oh, yeah, he's a nice man and he can hoop and he can do this and do that. Nah, that's a lie. The Lord said we're supposed to correct the guy. If you don't want to correct him, you know, in some cases, the Bible says God will put an evil spirit on that person, hoping he'll get right. Sometimes God will sign an evil spirit to an unchristian-like man or woman. I hope that satisfies your answer. If not, keep on marching, sir.
Okay, he says that his wife's going to be calling us later on tonight because he's having a special event in that his wife insisted that both of us participate. You talked to him last week. And he says he does not appreciate your vulgar accent when you're dealing with hanky-panky.
Hanky-panky, sir, means somebody committing fornication, lying, stealing, offering money, involved with bestiality, involved with homosexuality, involved in lying. Because if you look at Revelation 21:8, liar is in the same category of a perverted fool, okay? So that's what it's all about. We supposed to teach. Everybody haven't been blessed like us. We came up with Christian mothers and fathers. Some of them don't even know what a church looked like. I remember one woman was standing on the corner just about, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago. And she looked despondent. She said, sir, could you give me some money? And I said, you know, I'm a pastor. Have you ever been to church? She said, no. I said, well, hop in. She said, no, but I'd rather go home. I said, okay, no problem. I live, and she told me she lived there because she's going to walk about 2-3 miles going home. I put in the car, I turned on my radio, and it was Christian music. She said, what kind of music is that? I ain't never heard no music like that. A girl didn't have never heard Christian music before. You know, and then I drop off home. One girl was in the hospital crying, you know, trying to commit suicide. And I said, what's the matter, Angel? Well, and I was a chaplain. She said, I said, why don't you call, you want me to call your parents? My parents, I ain't got no stinking parents. My daddy and mama's hang out on drugs. As a matter of fact, they're that drug up right now. So she gave me a number. I called and said, you know, your daughter tried to commit suicide last night. Hey, baby, what's happening? And who you say you is, sir? I said, Lord, have mercy. I just hung the phone up. So I have to talk hanky-panky. Some folks are not blessed to be raised in a Christian family. And then there are some who are raised in Christian family but don't know the Lord. They just go to church, and they call themselves a Christian because they belong to such and such Baptist church, such and such Methodist church, such and such Catholic church. They think they are Christian because they go to a church. Man, you can be raised and live in a barn for 20 years, and that don't make you an animal. So that's why I talk, Hank. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach the gospel. There's a lot of listeners don't know Jesus, don't even know who Moses, don't know Abraham, don't know nothing about, don't even know the Holy Spirit. There's some ministers walking around now don't know the Holy Spirit, okay? That's why I talk, Hanky Panky.
The mother needs to speak to you now. She's at the mic. She says, good evening.
Good evening, Mother dear.
I can make this go two ways. Oh.
Well, you know, you don't have fools listening to this program. You know, you got godly men and women listening too, you know, and they know when somebody is lying and when somebody's telling the truth, because the real Christians have the Spirit of God in them. So watch what you say, okay?
I'm going to wait till the program start tonight and let the light shine on you, boy.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, do what you have to do, dear, and you'll see what happens. I can tell you what's going to happen, but, you know, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to let you be surprised.
Okay, one more. The Dr. Dillmore, he is the president of St. Vincent's AME Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and they're going to be doing the processions tonight. He says, what turned you away from being a Baptist man, and why are you a heretic now? Please answer, please.
You think because the Jews don't believe in Jesus, and, you know, the Jews think you're a heretic. The Muslims think you're a heretic because they think you're a heretic because you're not a Muslim. That make you a heretic, sir? You follow what I'm saying? The Pharisees and Sadducees, the theologians, didn't believe in Jesus. Okay? So, of course, you think I'm a heretic because I don't believe what you believe, and you're going to call me a heretic? You know, you follow in the footsteps of those Pharisees and Sadducees in the Bible. Who did Jesus? They try to kill him, even though he healed the blind, raised the dead. They still call him a heretic and try to kill him, man. So you're saying, I think you're a heretic? That don't make it true, sir.
He says he's a demonologist.
Well, I don't know you. Maybe you are, and maybe you ain't. I'm not here to judge, okay?
He said he would like to have an open challenge with you during the ceremony services.
That's childish stuff, sir. You know why you want to hold a challenge? Because you're full of pride. You know what you're saying in your spirit, don't even know it. I can speak better than him. I can sing better than him. I can talk better than him. I can preach better than him. And I want to show everybody how good I am. That's all it is. I'm a 77-year-old man. I ain't got time for that foolishness, sir. Because when you tell me, I want to challenge and debate you in the church and show them that I'm better than you, that's foolishness and that's pride. And that's a demon talking through you. That's
right. That is so true. So true. Okay, we got Reverend Eagleman to Brother Michael Smith. Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
He says you're a heretic. Come back, please.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh.
They always say everybody's a heretic, you know.
Yeah, they said it about Jesus. They said it about Jesus.
Anything contrary to what they believe or what they have to say or what they have to teach is you're a heretic, you're a heretic, you're a heretic. And I say, sir, that you're a Pharisee, you're a Sadducee, you're the whatever, that, you know, it was against the ministry. I'm not going to follow you up and take part. You can call me whatever you want, sir, but I know who I am in Christ. So have a good day.
Yeah. Amen, amen, and amen.
We got another from Dr. Wallace Jackson to Brother Mike and to Brother Durden. Now, I've been listening to you guys, and I got a problem with y'all. Both, please give me a comment. I've been hooping for 39 years, and you guys really go against hooping. I'm tired of it. I'm a hooper. Please make me come back, both of you. It doesn't matter.
Well, all I can say is be what you want to be, sir. Be what you want to be. That's between you and God. God is the one going to judge you when you pass from this earth. So we don't have any comment. Just say, you're supposed to read the Bible. You know what the Lord said, teach and preach it and say hoop and this kind of a thing. So we're not going to get into a commentary strife like that, man. You know, you just be what you want to be, and you've got to answer to God. You don't answer to us, so we don't need to respond, okay? You talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord about it.
Yeah, matter of fact, give me the scripture where it says hooping is in the Bible, where you're supposed to hoop. If you find me that one scripture, if you find a scripture that says there's hooping in the Bible, okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. 845, this is Reverend Hoopton, Harpington, and he wants to ask, what do you think about Derek Prince, 845?
Derek Prince. I mean, he's just a very he's probably one of the most I guess I would say beautiful men, you know, of God that ever lived. I mean, to be. I mean, he's just you know, unique. I mean, God used him in such a way that he was just very selfless, and he gave his life for Christ, and he was very very disciplined, a quiet man, but powerful though. Jesus Christ definitely was in that man, and hey, what more can I say?
Brother John?
Uh-huh.
I have a question from Dr. Carl Robinson.
Okay.
University of Cincinnati Religious Studies.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to ask you a question from one theologian to another.
Yes, sir.
I'm not in the business of belittlement or argument. I'm in the business of learning. I have understood through my studies that which has ceased meant that Paul was speaking that we no longer need the gifts. Could you please clarify that?
It's my understanding, sir. When you read that scripture, it says tongues and revelation and so forth was ceased. Okay, that's verse 9.
He said
9.
He has
look
the Bible.
Verse...
He said he has
okay,
the Bible,
look...
John. He said, "Go get your Bible." He wants to follow you.
Let me see. I got to try to remember which scripture it was. I know what the scripture said, but I can't even.
You know what we do, Brother John?
Oh, what's that? Huh?
Brother John, we're gonna put some music in. Give you time to find it, okay?
Okay, yeah, it'll take me about it. Just take me a 1 second. Wait a minute.
All right.
Okay.
Big Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Put some music in there.
My ideas and concept must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner. Can do to stop me from leaving. Yeah, I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner. Every day to greet the morning sun, to ensure what I said I'll do what's really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission. 'Cause I'm a winner, greatest living inside. Nothing you can do to stop me from leaving. I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner.
Come on, get out.
Brother John, we're back.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You say it's okay, Brother John. You can just summarize it.
Well, the scripture, you know, I can't find the notes. I just speak from the spirit. It talks about the gifts of the spirit. He says that tongues and revelation and knowledge will decrease. He said decrease, but when he said tongue, he said it will cease. Okay, it will cease. It didn't say it has ceased. And if you look at verse 10, it says something to the fact that that which is perfect come, and then that's when it will cease, because Jesus is that which is perfect. We have a perfect environment, a perfect condition. We have a perfect Lord, and we would need tongues, because tongues serve two purposes. One, that's when the Lord wants to give a revelation to the congregation. Sometimes in the middle of the service or at the end of the service, the pastor would say, hold up, I just got a word from the Lord. And everybody quiet down, the band and all quit, and everybody be quiet. And then he goes, Shikarani Shikiria la para kela. Kesi iria ka para so koli ni shikirian de ka lolo bidiama. Shikiriana ka la para ko. So orini shikiria da para koli shikirian da para ko lolo para kisama. And then the janitor, the first lady, the pastor's mother, a choir member may get up and give the interpretation. Now, why that person is giving the interpretation? Because God, the Holy Spirit, given the interpretation when the pastor was speaking in tongues. That member would give the interpretation, and guess what? The Lord would also give somebody else in the church interpretation, so they would know that it's proof and that it's not a lie, it's not makeup, but that is the truth. And they said that which is perfect company. Now, when Jesus comes, oh, it says also in that same verse 9, it says revelation and all will go away. But you notice revelation hasn't stopped or has ceased. We still got airplanes. We got the cell phone. We got television. Think about all those things we've gotten since Jesus died, since the Bible was written. Revelation hasn't stopped. It will when Christ comes back, because what? We will know as he knows. We will have to go, let me go read this book. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So when you look at verse 9, it says, tongues will cease. And they say, tongue cease, y'all. Tongue has ceased. They say, tongues will cease. But if you look at 10, he tell you when. He said, when that which is perfect come. And there's two perfections he's talking about. He's talking about the perfect Jesus and the perfect condition we're going to be in when the Lord's back, because he's going to rule this world for 1,000 years. 1,000 years without sin. Because he's the head. He's the honcho man. So we won't need tongues no more, because when he speaks, everybody would know what he said, English, Spanish, German, all would understand the Lord when he speak. I don't know how he's going to do it, but when he speak, everybody in that millennium going to understand what he's saying. That which is perfect comes, talking about Jesus, and what else perfect? That's the environment we can be living in. They're going to have all that murder, stealing, raping, whoremongering, and all that stuff. Okay, so that's it. I'm glad I don't have the notes, because then I would have to read the thing, and I don't want to read. I want to speak from my spirit. But that's what it means. That which is, you see, tongues will cease. And then say tongue has stopped or ceased. Okay? They say will cease. And then 10 give you an idea when it will cease. It said when that which is perfect come. Talk about the perfect Lord of Jesus, because when he speaks, we all would understand, because he speaks to our spirit. And then on top of that, we would know what he's saying, and we would know things as he knows. We won't be knowing everything like he does, but our knowledge will increase, and so we don't need the basic kind of knowledge we're getting now. We have a perfect condition, Jesus, and the condition environment we'd be living in 1,000 years. And we don't need tongues. And say, if you notice, it said revelation knowledge too. It said knowledge will decrease. But you seen knowledge decrease since Jesus' days? No, we got the airplane, helicopters, all the different types of guns, all the warfare, all the cell phones, telephones, phone booths, all that stuff, man. We didn't have that when Jesus said it will decrease, increase. So that's what it's all about, brother. So it has not ceased. It will cease. And then 10 says it will cease when that which is perfect comes. And perfection, that's the environment we could be living in.
and we would have a perfect Lord and Savior who can speak to us the way he wants us, commune to our spirit. God bless you. Thank you for asking that question.
Amen, Brother John.
And he said, it's real, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We couldn't hear you at first.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
He said it's real. He saw him, Brother Mace, Brother John. He said he saw them demons come out.
Uh-huh.
And he said he finna get the Holy Spirit and drop that doctrine because that tongues is real. He said he see it.
Yes, sir, because you know what? I had two pastors, both were doctors. One, when I was raised up under, that's the Methodist pastor. He was a doctor in theology. And when I went to him asking, and he said, well, he don't know for sure. And he don't want no curse on this life. So he's not, even though the Methodists don't teach it, he says, I'm not going to speak against it. I'm just going to keep my big mouth shut. And I said, yes, sir. And then I came back to Atlanta and talked to my Baptist minister who taught at ITC. And he was, and one was the head theologian at ITC. And he told me, no, we Baptists, you know, we don't teach that doctrine. But he never came around and said whether he believed or not. He says, well, you know, we don't teach that, and I don't want to lose my church. Because if I start talking that stuff, they'd kick me out of church. I got a family and children to take care of. And then I said, and I went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, I don't know what to believe. And some said, go back home. And I thought that was the Holy Spirit. I went back down to Savannah, Georgia. And my sister said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know what to believe, Pat. I said, my Methodist minister who I was raised under was a doctor, theologian, and he says he don't believe it, but he don't know for sure, and he don't teach it as Methodist. And I went back to Atlanta, and he told me he don't know and he don't believe it and stuff like that. And I said, so I don't know. She said, what church you go to now? She says, non-denominational. I said, oh, she said, you know what, you need to talk to my pastor. And I said, okay. So he met me at the church. And he said, you're just going down to the altar. I'm not going to even try to you just ask the Lord. He said, oh, by the way, I got one thing to say. He says, when you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, I said, uh-huh. He said, that's when you were eligible to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But receiving the gifts is just like salvation. You have to believe. If you walk around talking about, I don't believe Jesus, the Son of God, I don't believe Jesus healing, I don't believe Jesus that, you ain't going to never get saved. You're going to bust hell wide open. He said, the same thing applies to the gifts of the Spirit. You have to believe. If you doubt them, I don't believe that, that's ceasing, that's been 9 days. You would never be able to speak in tongues. You would never. The gifts of the Spirit would never manifest through you. Like God may want to speak to somebody who got cancer and want to heal it. And you can't hear the Lord. You don't believe in the word of knowledge. Huh? And so the Lord ain't going to speak to you and say, you need to pray for Sister Sarah. She has cancer. If you pray for her, I will heal her. But you don't hear his voice because he don't talk to us like that nowadays. We have his written word. But his written word said, do not rebuke speaking in tongues. And the word also said we are ignorant because we don't believe. All you have to believe, and guess what? You find yourself, that's what happened to me. I said, okay, Lord, I believe. And the pastor said, okay, now ask him for whatever you want. And I looked at all those gifts. I thought I was going to pick the hardest one. I said, I want to speak in tongues. I thought that was impossible. And he said, oh, that's what you're asking for? I said, yeah. He said, okay, thank you for it. I said, thank you for it. He's thanking for it. I said, I thank you, Lord, for the gift of tongue. I thank you, Shikada Baraka Sokolite, Shikiri and the Barako, Barakita, Lara Barako Sokolite, Shikiria. It came out because what? I believe. God bless you for asking that question, sir.
Okay, oh, Lord. Mother dear wants the mic again. Jesus. You want to speak to her again, Brother John?
Sure, no problem.
She says, you're about to make me say something, but I'm trying to hold it because you just don't do things the way you did with Dr. Pelt. Now, I've been a Baptist 40 years. I'm going to get on off the mic now, but you did them wrong. She crying, Brother. So you did them wrong.
Yeah, ma'am, we didn't want another church to pick him up. That's all. Because the first person he hit on was the deacon's wife. Behind, you know, the deacon wife was the secretary of the church. So it's just them two in the church, the pastor and the secretary of the church. The secretary was the head was one of the deacon's wife. And he's trying to screw her and hit on her. And she told us, and then we confronted him. He told us to go to hell. They ain't none of our business. And then when he found out the church about to get, found out about him about getting rid of him, he started finding another job. And then and people quiet them. What do you think about him? We think about hiring him. He sounds so good. He came and he preached so good and everything else. We don't want to tell a lie and say, oh, he's the greatest, holiest man and preacher in the world. He's the best we've seen, the best we've heard. No, you wouldn't do that. It's like getting a job. You want to hire the best people you want. You don't want to hire a whoremonger And then all he gonna do is when he get in your church, he gonna be trying to screw the women in there, and probably try to screw some of the men too. And so we're trying to protect
Amen.
Others, okay, ma'am? Now, if you have
she
a problem with that, then
she said she don't have no problem with that. She said she ain't got
okay.
no problem with that no more. Big
God
Mike, Brother
you,
John, I need something from both of y'all, man. Brother Mike, can you hear me? Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can Big Mike, can y'all meet me on Skype?
Yeah.
Brother Mike?
Yeah.
Meet me on Skype. I got an emergency in Finland. Call, let me close out. Meet me on Skype.
You got it.
All right, Brother Mike, close out.
Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Father, we thank you, Father, for the word, the ministry, Father, for the teaching tonight, Father. Continue to bless us, Father, where we are weak, Father. Let's strengthen us, Father, where we need to be strengthened, Father. Father, bless those, Father, that they may receive this word tonight, Father, and take it, Father, with good and with strive, Father, that they will, Father, change their hearts and their minds. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now we pray. Amen.